San Francisco drag queen La Monistat was named Best Drag Queen by the readers of SF Weekly, she still considers herself an outsider in the drag world.
With her flair for performance art, self-expression, and crazy blood-soaked costuming, she isn't your everyday queen on the scene.
La Monistat says she was invited to be a contestant in the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race, but declined. Why didn't she do it?
On today's show, we're talking to Dino Soko, the fierce drag queen that is La Monistat. She's in Chicago to check out all the delicacies offered at the International Mr. Leather Contest and Conference. And she's here in the home studio to share her tips on what it takes to create great drag and how to get in touch with your inner slut.
Listen as one of San Francisco's favorites talks about being Margaret Cho's drag queen lookalike, California's Day of Decision, and the skinny on Shishi LaRue's new look and music video, which mocks RuPaul. Does Shishi really hate the drag queen that saved Logo, supermodel to the world, or is this just a publicity stunt?
All this and the state of drag after Tranny Shack. I'm Mark Billion.
I'm Fausto Fernos, and this is Feast of Fun. I've got one thing to say. You better put your nose to the grindstone.
Just do something.
Yeah, yeah. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you. Today's show is also brought to you in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
LifeLube is your big tent guide to gay men's health, from sex and drugs to fairies and bears. It's your friendly concierge for all that's gay, sexy, and healthy.
LifeLube wants to know, how are you healthy? Go to LifeLube.org and tell them about it.
On today's Feast of Fun, we're talking to Dino Soko, best known as the fierce drag queen La Monistat, named 2009's best drag queen by the readers of San Francisco's weekly newspaper. She came to Chicago to check out the International Mr. Leather Contest and Conference, and she's here in the home studio to share her tips on what it takes to make a great drag queen in your own hometown and how to get in touch with the inner slut inside of you. Welcome to Feast of Fun, La Monistat.
Hi, Fausto. Hi, Mark.
Welcome, sweetheart. Every drag queen has a story behind her name.
Okay.
Why would you call yourself after a feminine hygiene product?
You know, it's so funny. People keep asking me that question.
Because what does Monistat do?
They'll never stop.
Because for some people that don't know, is it antifungal?
It's antifungal for a lady's lady parts.
Okay.
And the story behind that, I had gone through like 5 or 6 drag names before that.
Like, so what were some of them?
Really dumb, like Princess Parislutskaya or...
Wait.
That's pretty dumb, yeah. What else?
Princess
Paris.
Slutskaya.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like the last syllable of your word. That name. Slut.
Jizz trailer.
Jizz trailer.
Mm. Jizz trailer.
Anita Bump.
That is so predictable.
Really
one.
Lame ones. And
wow. We came up with a good one though earlier today. We were talking to somebody like Tarzana. I'm like, that's a wonderful drag name. Somebody steal it right
Tarzana.
Now.
Tarzana.
Yeah, Tarzanarama.
Tarzanarama.
Mm-hmm. So what the common theme in all your drag queen names is that you have a healthy sexual appetite.
I have a very sexual appetite, yes.
A very sexual and health and large.
And yes, I guess I'm very blessed in that section.
So how did La Monistat develop? Because it used to just be Monistat.
It used to be just Monistat. Well, I have to tell you the story of how Monistat came mm-hmm. to be. I was very high on lots of substances one night after...
What year was this? Like last year?
No, not last year. A couple of years ago.
Last week?
This weekend. No, it was a couple of years ago. I was like, I was 20. I was surfing through the channels very high. And I was watching The Nanny on Lifetime after Golden Girls. And a Monistat commercial came on. And I was like, oh, my God, genius. It's like Madonna. Monistat.
And then you brought the Spanish prefix la.
That just came in this year because for a while I was monostat 6, monostat 7, and monostat 8.
Because monostats are numbered or something, aren't they?
They are numbered. The 1-day treatment, the 3-day treatment, the 5-day treatment, the 7-day treatment. And so it's 09, so I was like, well, how do I up my ante? La Monastat.
La Monastat.
And then, so now, where do you perform regularly in San Francisco?
I have my own Tuesday night party at the End Up called Chaser. The show, there's a drag show at midnight.
So it's a new club?
It's a fairly new club. I just started in April.
Okay.
And I also perform at this club called Charlie Horse up on Polk Street in the... It used to be the gay district of mm-hmm. San Francisco, but it got gentrified. But we're trying to bring back the whole hustler, tranny atmosphere. Punk rock!
So for other people who are not blessed to live in San Francisco to check out your act, what does your act consist of? You come out on stage?
I think my biggest strength in being a drag queen is that I'm very versatile with my acts. I love to be crazy on stage. I love to be covered in blood. I love to roll around.
So like Diamanda Galas.
I love Diamanda Galas.
So you come out and see you saying, "Sono la prova, sono la carne macelata," which means I am the proof, I am the rotten meat.
Yes. I love Diamanda. Amazing.
Are you rotten meat?
I'm always rotten, honey.
Why are you so crazy? Why so ugly? Because, you know, one of the things I lament is in my 20s, mm-hmm. not living in San Francisco and being a drag queen. Because mm-hmm. it's like, I feel like a real close kinship with all the queens in that city. Because you're a bunch of crazy bitches like me. You're crazy.
It certainly is a different aesthetic. It's not the pageant aesthetic.
But see, every city in America has its own personality when it comes to drag queens. Mm-hmm. And you kind of can learn a lot about a community mm-hmm. by looking at the drag queens that inhibit it. Inhabit it. Mm-hmm. And so what is it that makes San Francisco's drag queens so gosh darn smart, but also crazy?
You know,
they're intellectual, you know, like they write dissertations about how fucking, you know, pouring pig blood over themselves.
San Francisco is an amazing city to be creative in. And, you know, I'm not going to discount that there are pageant queens. There's mm-hmm. that whole imperial court system, and that's fabulous and all. But the queens I like are the crazy fucked up ones, because San Francisco has a rich history of performance art, like from the Cockettes to like the club scene in the 80s and the 90s and then Tranny Shack. And then now it's become such, drag has become this thing where it's a form of art and self-expression rather than just performing and doing a Barbara or a Celine lip sync, you know?
So there's an intergenerational tradition mm-hmm. of basically giving the finger to tradition.
Yes. It's more about performance and less about just looking pretty. And if you look at a lot of the queens in San Francisco, you know, don't really emulate like female superstars like you do in Las Vegas or wherever, you know. Nobody wants to really look like Barbara Streisand, or nobody really wants to look like Liza Minnelli. The queens in San Francisco kind of cultivate their own persona and they in essence become rock stars in
what
San Francisco.
What about Barbara Streisand with a hunchback?
That is fierce.
Or Liza Minnelli with a stump leg.
No, recently it's
I have a queen writing that down. Oh yes, must do Barbara with hunchback.
Must do Barbara with hunchback.
Oh, Mark. You know, I have to just quickly tell the listeners, we are all competing in RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm gonna, at the end of this interview, I'm gonna force La Monastat to put up her own profile on RuPaul's
you
Drag
are
Race.
Gonna come on.
Why won't you?
Why wouldn't
now,
you?
You and I have become fast friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You are probably the first or second person I chat with the most. Mm-hmm. And it, you know all the pain and suffering I've been through with some crazy drag queens. Mm-hmm. We're not going to say their names, but. And I think that you would really shine on that program. And you actually told me you've been approached by the producers in the first season to actually be on the show. And you said no. Why would you do something so stupid?
Are you afraid your mother would find out you're gay?
You're hiding
from
the law.
No. It's my parents are lesbian.
His name is Dino Socco. S-O-C-C-O. Police can arrest him right now.
I'm a big fag. I come from a big gay family. My parents are very loving and accepting. And they're probably going to listen to this.
Shout out to your mom.
Shout out to your mom.
Is your mom really a lesbian?
Yes, I have lesbian parents.
So really?
Yes. You work that carpet lady.
Ew.
Wow. How'd you get lesbian parents?
That's your mom you're talking about.
You came out of that hole.
I did.
Your mom enjoys. There's a woman. Your mom, the hole you came out of, gives a lot of pleasure to your mom's girlfriend.
I think I was introduced to this whole fetish thing when I was 7 years old because I did walk into the room and I found the toys. I found the dildos.
Vibrators.
Exactly.
Mommy, can I play with your bunny?
And I did. And I was so aroused because they had the weirdest porn I've ever fucking seen. It's like,
what kind of porn did they have?
They had this porn. It's like Playgirl, but all the faces of the men were like Prince Charles and like the Queen of England and some crazy chick. So I was like, wow.
That's really fucked up.
That's some crazy.
That's like, weird.
It's like really
Prince
weird.
Prince Charles as a lesbian porn star.
Aha, uh-huh, with a cock.
Let's just sit back and soak that
so
image
that, that's,
for a
what
second.
Is that again? So
Prince
it's a,
Charles
it's actually
of
like
Wales.
It's photo porn.
It's like
cartoons.
It's like a magazine.
Okay,
but like you know they it's it, I guess this is before Photoshop. Uh-huh. I guess what you do is you know cut
so
and paste.
So they airbrushed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they would take Prince Charles's head,
yeah, and put
stick
it on,
it on
a
lesbian
on a lesbian body with tits and a dick. So
I'd love that. Can you send me a copy, please?
I don't.
Send
I was seven. I don't even know if that exists anymore.
So why would you not be on RuPaul's Drag Race?
Well, for me, you know,
they're listening to this right now.
Granted, yes.
Okay, so say, dear RuPaul.
Dear RuPaul, you
well,
are.
I don't want. I love
I
that
don't
you
want
asked
to be on
me.
Your show.
I love that you know the opportunity has come up to be on the show. And to be able to be a faggot for 3,000 bajillion viewers on VH1 logo and blah, blah, blah. But,
or here for, you know, for free.
Or here for free. But, you know, it's really not something that at the moment where I'm at in my career, in what I'm doing as a drag queen, as a performer, it's not where I want to be personally.
What possibly bad could come out of this?
I don't think anything bad. I think, you know, it
how would be 2 weeks of your life?
Are you afraid
life?
You'd be humiliated?
No, I'm not afraid to be humiliated.
What are
I
you
would
afraid? What's
shit
the worst thing
I
that could
to.
Happen?
The worst thing, there's nothing really bad.
Is it the pressure?
No, I just, okay, this is one thing I'm going to say. I applaud Tammy Brown because the day she got voted off, she did not want to lip sync to Destiny's Child and she held her ground. I will not lip sync to Destiny's Child.
She said that the reason that she didn't want to lip sync is because she didn't take the time to memorize it. That's what she said. And I think it's selfish. If you have the position to compete in a contest like that and get the exposure to not try your hardest, and if you already made it this far, if they say jump through that hoop, you jump through that hoop, you know? So what?
It's about, you know, working together and you guys come onto a project together and you say, these are the things that we're going to do. This is what's expected of you. Mm-hmm. You know what? Do it, because that's how we build community. That's how things come along. And you're taking that opportunity that somebody else could have had and somebody else would have been happy to
that
do.
That was my lip sync moment. I'm sorry, you're ringing my tambourine there. Give me back my tambourine.
It's my Stevie Nicks moment.
Yeah, so you feel that being in a contestant competition show that takes what you do as a passion, as a career, and puts it up for scrutiny would not be the right thing for you to do right now.
For right now, it's not where I'm at. It's not.
Don't you think it would be fun?
I think it'd be hilarious, and some of those queens are amazing. It's just,
I think it would be a wonderful experience.
Now, you have some frenemies in the scene in San Francisco who are begging and pleading and scratching their way to the top.
Yes.
To try to be in this contest. If they got in, would you then be like, okay, I'll do it?
If they got in, more power. But
so you're never going to do it?
I'm still a fiercer performer.
So will you do it for 2 Scooby snacks?
I will do it for all the drugs in the world, darling.
You would? Or you won't?
I will.
How about that $20,000 you win?
There's $20,000?
Yeah.
That's not enough for a new couture dress.
I think it would be a lot of fun, and I want people to vote for me. I'm competing.
You I'll can just vote go, for you.
Will you?
I'll vote for both of you, and I'll tell all my friends to vote for you guys.
Fausto Fernos, because see, this is my strategy. Mm-hmm. If I was on that program, first of all, I think the fun thing about the program is it's always, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. It's like the Special Olympics.
Right.
It's how many hugs you get at the end of the race. And I would feel like I would become fast friends with all the queens on those shows. Second of all, I would also, I'm very good, a good saboteur.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as RuPaul would be like, don't fuck it up, I'd be like, don't mess it up. Like, you know, the thing about RuPaul, you always know what RuPaul's going to say.
Right.
Because she's very predictable in a certain way.
And like so her smile.
Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, RuPaul, please let me stay. And I would pull like a $20 bill and be like, if you let me stay, I'll give you $20.
Evil, evil.
And I know she needs the money. Because now there's rumors that somebody in a thrift store in San Francisco caught RuPaul shopping.
What's wrong with shopping at a thrift store?
She can afford the fine couture.
Look at her couture. Look at her dresses on the show.
Yeah,
she's
but there's
fabulous
stuff that you find, little jewels and baubles and like tchotchke that you can only find in a thrift store. I miss my thrift store now that it's a gay bar at the end of the street, but...
You know, I like, you know, sometimes a thrift store reincarnated as a country western gay bar is progress.
Is it?
Let's just say that.
Yeah, it goes from Salvation Army to...
Shout out to the cattle call on Bryn Mawr and Clark Street.
Moo! I can roll
love
home
it
from
was that
there.
The party you guys went to last night, because I saw that. I saw the pictures online.
Oh, I videotaped, yeah, the country western line dancers.
It's country western is becoming such a big thing.
Hot thing.
There's this huge old like circuit space in San Francisco that they turn into a country western saloon for on Sunday nights. It's kind of crazy.
So what?
They love it.
So you won San Francisco Weekly's best drag queen by the readers.
Yes.
So you went around every single person in town.
Facebook message, everybody.
I totally asked every fucking person.
That's how you have to do it. Because who is going to do it for you? Pollo Del Mar?
Who?
Oh.
That's another San Francisco drag queen.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
So she's not on the show right now, though. But she
let's
will
not talk about her.
She's planning to come on the show. So we
I hope
we're
she will.
Still waiting for your talking points, sister.
I'm sure she has something very important to say about herself.
Obstacles standing in your way. What drag queens, what's a common mistake drag queens do in going after what they want?
A common mistake. Wow, that's a good question, girl. That's really hard. I mean,
how do they fuck it up?
I can talk about my experiences, and I've fucked up a lot, and I've burned a lot of bridges.
How did you fuck it up?
Make sure you know who you're talking to and it doesn't get back to them.
Well, you just right now trashed Pollo.
She didn't trash her.
I didn't say anything.
She didn't say anything. But
I'm not a woman.
Well, I mean, you know.
So how do you talk about somebody behind their back without it getting back to them?
Make an anonymous Facebook profile. And
oh, really? Do you have one?
No.
She has several.
Are you Gabraham Lincoln? Who is Gabraham Lincoln?
I don't.
Who is Gabraham Lincoln?
Are they trashing you guys?
No.
Okay, aww. I'm going to say one common mistake that I've observed drag queens making is that they don't push themselves to try new things.
Yes.
So once they find a look, once they find a certain niche for them,
right.
Or that even wigs, like how many drag queens do we know personally who find that one wig, and I've been guilty of this, and they just wear that wig until it's as
but
dirty
wigs
as
are
a rat's
expensive.
Nest.
No, the thing is I hate about queens like and wigs, it's like some of them will just take it out of the box and not even brush it and just plop it on their head.
I like that though.
I'm like, Miss Thing, get a brush from Walgreens and brush it out, you know, fuck it up a little bit.
Have you
bit.
Seen that wig cleaner, that thing you put in there that puts the ozone in there to get rid of all the cockroaches,
you know,
and stuff like that? Because cockroaches love wigs.
Ask Heclina. I love you, Heclina.
Does she have a cockroach crawl on her head?
She has tons of them.
She has them living on her even without the wig.
You know, San Francisco is very lucky. I mean, people make drag queens have customized dresses. You know, people have their own wig mistresses who take care of their wigs, who wash them, who style them for you.
That's funny because we were at IML this weekend and Fausto was fixing my hair because I had gotten cake all over it from the contest. And
so I
took a shower in somebody's hotel room and he was fixing my hair down on the floor and people are looking at me as he's combing my hair and spraying it. And I just look at him and I say, I have a grooming fetish, and then they're just kind of like, oh, okay,
and it makes complete sense.
And it makes complete sense.
I was explaining that to our intern Shane Sweeney. I said, Shane, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, just describe it as a fetish.
Yes, and they're like, oh, okay.
I said to them, you know, how about anybody here have a cleaning after yourselves fetish?
There is a shaving fetish. I know a bunch of people.
How about like sweeping and mopping fetish? That's called S&M.
I think that's just called Mexican.
Oh.
<I'm> sorry. That's
so
racist.
So you hate some queens.
Not some, all.
All
what
of them?
Do you mean?
You hate all drag queens. No, but there's a sir. Why do you hate these individuals specifically?
I don't hate them. I wish, you know, certain of most of them the best of luck. I'm sure they'll succeed in whatever they do, and I'm sure they're fierce in whatever they do. But
here's the other shoe.
Here, the other stiletto dropped. The Manolo dropped. For me, talking about yourself endlessly and pretending that your charity work is something that you're doing out of your heart, because not because, you know, you're doing it, but just because you want to get in every, you know, newspaper in town. And you,
so there's, what's the difference between you going around asking people to vote for you for best drag queen and then that?
Mine was done with sense of humor.
Okay, so the one of the common mistakes that drag queens make is that they lose a sense of humor about
themselves. They take themselves way too seriously.
They take themselves, you are a man in a dress.
Yeah, bitch, you are a man in a dress. There is nothing wrong, you know, with making fun of yourself and being retarded every now and then.
Is that maybe that why some gay men are attracted to being drag queens? Is because, like, at least for speaking for myself, it felt like it's a quick and interesting way to get people to pay attention to you and to make what you do seem more relevant or more interesting, more important.
I think that's a special case for you, because a lot of the fags that I know want to do drag because they want to be pretty.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they don't feel beautiful.
Yeah, it's some sort of validation.
But that's not why you do it, though.
Initially, that's why I did it.
You didn't want to be beautiful.
So you started off with a little makeup, and you're like, I look like a drag queen.
I was also only like 18 at the time when I first started doing drag in San Francisco. And I had horrible makeup that were done by trannies, you know, like full on, like tits and a dick tranny.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I borrowed a corset, and I borrowed a skirt, and I borrowed a tired wig. And somebody gave me these amazing, you know, shoes. I have a shoe fetish. These black.
So you're like Imelda Marcos.
I'm total Imelda Marcos realness right now.
Well, you and Angina also compares herself to Imelda Marcos, and you guys are friends.
Yes, we're friends. She's actually performing at my club.
So does she stay with you when she's in San Francisco?
No, I'm actually putting her up in a fancy hotel.
Oh. Yeah, because you don't want to stay her at your house, because she'll steal your shoes. Because those shoe fetishes, they take one look at your pumps and they go, sweep.
Angina actually has bigger feet than me.
No way, really?
She looks so... That is so mean.
She's got big man feet.
I love you, girl.
Okay, Tranny Shack, America's longest drag show,
yes,
ended last year in October.
Yes, you guys were there.
We were there. We put the nail in the coffin, and I'm proud to say the zombie has not come back to life.
Actually, the zombie did come back to life last night. Heclina had her Madonna night.
Okay. So, she's still performing, but it's not Tranny Shack or something like that.
She's,
so you say the culture in San Francisco has kind of changed now, because what's changed since the closing?
You know, like there's so many things that are opening up in San Francisco, like other clubs, other parties that are have opened up in San Francisco to make nightlife more interesting on a weekday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Monday night, I would go to the Stud, and there'd be this amazing club that my friend throws. And they would have like this Project Runway-esque competition.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a bag of fabric and you had about an hour to make whatever the fuck you want.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's amazing. I did it last week and it was so fun. Do you have sewing machines or just hot glue guns? I have a master's in fashion design, so I knew what to do. I was cutting fabric. I had glue guns. I had pins.
I brought stuff.
So you can bring your sewing machine to a gay bar.
You can bring your sewing machine, because my friend has brought his sewing machine to the bar, and we were making garments.
That sounds like so much fun.
It is an amazing party.
Did you get some little child laborers from the Philippines or anything?
I was a little Filipina sewer. Yes. With my nimble fingers.
You do a very good job, La Monista. So everybody wants to know what your friendship with Margaret Cho. Margaret Cho calls you her drag queen lookalike.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a fucked up thing to say, but
you know, this is one of the best quotes I've heard from her. You know, she says, she always introduces me this way whenever we go out. Everybody has always wanted a mini me. I have a giant me, and I'm the giant me.
Oh,
and I love that about her.
Well, she has Selene Luna too to be her mini me.
Selene is amazing, but no one compares to me.
So it's sort
so
of
you're
like
the
a,
mega. How does
so
she call you the mega?
I'm the mega size Margot Cho. Yeah, I'm Mega Cho.
Mega Cho.
I'm Mega Cho.
And so what? How? What's your relationship like? I mean, do you guys like? Have
well,
a,
the
you
funny
know?
Thing is how this all happened was I was hosting a party during Gay Pride at a local, you know, bear bar of all places. Mm-hmm. I walked in. I was late. I was really cunty. I was like not having it that night. And this. Two like big fat hairy dudes were just like grabbing me, and I'm like, what the fuck do you want? I'm late, I have to go DJ. And they were just like, do you know you look like Margaret Cho? I'm like, I get that all the fucking time. I've been
you're
getting
like, I'm Asian.
I
get
know,
over
I,
it.
Like, I know that. Tell me something I don't know. So I, you know, I'm running around, you know, taking care of everything, and the bears come back and they're like, you know, we're producing this commercial for the Cho Show.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to come down and do a screen test. And I was like, fuck you.
Why would you say fuck you to a job offer?
You know what? I thought they were fucking around.
Well, do RuPaul's Drag Race says no to Margaret Cho.
I'm just that type of person. I don't know if you're... I'm very jaded and I'm very bitter and I'm very cynical. I have to like...
You need therapy for that.
I'd go to therapy, bitch. Hi. I'll see you when I get back, by the way. So, yeah, and that happened and the bears were like talking to me and I'm just like, I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. I need to find my drugs.
Call me. So what happened? Did you do the thing or no?
I did the thing. They were for real. I came to the thing on Saturday, Pink Saturday in mm-hmm. San Francisco. Everybody's busy. I had like 5 shows that night. I had to go in. I had a trailer, like they did my makeup and had a stylist give me a dress.
Did they make you look like Margaret Cho?
They made me look like Margaret Cho.
Do you have photos
like,
of it?
There's a video.
There's a wonderful video. That's very
oh,
well known.
Oh, really?
There's yeah, a commercial.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it.
It's very well known. I'll play okay. it for you after the show, okay. Mark, but it's we'll put it up on our
There's a commercial,
show
and ever since then, Margaret and I have been in contact and we've remained really good friends.
Have you ever been in her presence? So you guys
oh,
hung
yeah,
out
all the
together?
Time. Okay. All the time. Like I was going to stay at her house in L.A.
Do you ever pretend to be her, like, and like go out on dates with her?
No, sometimes
whoever she's seeing,
her tricks would call.
Her tricks,
and I'd be like, "Hi, hello, this is Margaret Cho, mommy la cama."
Now, how did you? Because if it was a screen test and they were having other drag queens competing mm-hmm. for the role, mm-hmm. did you lock up Selena Luna in like a little box and?
Selena Luna wasn't there.
Because it would have been interesting to see.
Selena Luna had actually been a MySpace friend of mine because we have some common friends. Her one of her best friends, I would say, is the first DJ of Tranny Shack,
mm-hmm.
who I met. And he's an amazing DJ. So we had that
who
kind
is
of
that?
Connection. Robbie Daniels. Okay. Gerber Jones.
Robbie sure. D. My yeah. God, his name is keeps popping up.
Gerber
Robbie.
Jones. He does mm-hmm. Gerber Jones now. And his show.
Fantastic performer.
Amazing. Amazing.
Musician. Yeah. We are talking to La Monistat, who was voted by San Francisco's weekly best drag queen by the readers. Thank you, readers. She's sharing us the highlights of what it takes to be a fabulous drag queen. Kicking those obstacles out of your way and getting in touch with the inner slut inside you. You just got back from IML, mm-hmm. the International Mr. Leather Contest and Conference.
Oh, yes.
And you could not shut up about the bestiality porn.
I was all about the bestiality porn.
What is
porn?
Bestiality porn?
Well, there was that one booth.
Be honest. Okay, okay. Describe what you saw.
Well, this was the thing. I mean... They were very tucked away. It's like you had to be really
they
looking.
They were in a corner.
They were in a dark corner, and like you had to be really looking to find them. And I was just walking around. I'm like, I'm tired of these dumb queens in leather calling and says, "Hey girl, hey girl." I'm like, okay, well, no, I don't want.
You're supposed to be butch.
You're supposed to be butch queen.
so, I got into the elevator, and some guy was like going, "Woof, woof."
Yeah,
and
what is up like, with what? That?
I see that guy everywhere.
Every 3 seconds,
yeah, with
was
the beard.
Woof.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, "You're crazy."
I could tell
he's
you
kind of sexy.
Stories. I could tell you. Some stories about mm-hmm. that.
But okay, but so you ran into the bestiality. Yeah.
The bestiality. There was. I think my favorite video so far has been the one I saw yesterday. It was called "Men and His Bitches," and I turned the cover around, and it was a dog sucking this guy's cock.
How does a dog suck a cock?
The dog's head was in front of his penis, and it was licking the doggy tongue. Because
he puts like
some peanut butter on there,
peanut butter or something like that. Yeah,
that's a little extreme, you know. That's kind of fucked up. Like
there's other ones too. Because what? There was a dog.
There was a dog, the cow, the horse, the pig.
Is that legal? Wow. Like, that's the first question.
I think in some places it is legal, but I'm sure in other places it's not. I think it's very illegal.
And I think it's kind of like, I mean,
I think it's illegal in most places. I think,
you know
what,
most places, they you know, it's never really been an issue, so they never put it on the books. But I think Illinois is like recently trying to pass a bestiality law or something like that. Or is it like incest law?
What do you have to say for people who, like that guy who tried to shut down Folsom Street Fair? Mm-hmm. It was a gay man who said, things like this, these extreme, bizarre, or whatever you may qualify them, keep us away from advancing gay rights. What do you say to that?
You know, I brought this up with my friend Dimitri, who runs Folsom Street Fair, and I asked him, why don't you bring the bestiality booth to San Francisco for Folsom, mm-hmm. as, you know, something fun and retarded? He's like, no. It's bad enough.
Oh, so Folsom has a limit?
They have standards.
Yes, they have standards. And I was begging him. I was like, I will gladly host that stage for free.
So you're into it. Because you actually bought some of them.
I'm actually twisted. I'm twisted enough
I'm not leaving my pet cat or dog with you.
And I couldn't look at it. I heard about it, and I was afraid I'd turn into like a pillar of salt or something.
Silence of the Lambs. They had like knives and paddles and like umbrellas for sale next to the doggy and cow porn.
You're dodging a lot of pain, mister. Don't touch her, you bitch.
She puts the lotion in the basket.
It puts the lotion in the basket. Precious! Why? Okay, what do you say? Is this keeping us from advancing gay rights? I mean, this is scary shit.
It's really...
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up, and it's kind of... Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Well, look at the other thing, though, too. Is like, but what about the fetish thing like they have in Las Vegas? Like, that's a huge, huge, huge convention. And those straight people are so fucked up, and they have lots of crazy shit at their things.
They can legally get married. We can't.
That's true.
Right.
Well, maybe in Illinois this week, they say.
Today, it was announced in San Francisco. We're taping this at an event, so we may or may not know whether San Francisco, California, said thumbs up or thumbs down to gay marriage.
So I wanted to say that, you know, California, you got what you deserved. So they can take that either way.
A lot of queens will be very angry with that.
Well, it might be celebrating. They might be celebrating. And so they got what they deserve.
I'm all for...
Which is a good thing.
My thing has always been this. I believe in the right to choose. I'm not, per se, for gay marriage, but I believe that no one should tell me who I can get married to. Mm-hmm. You know?
So you're saying on a personal level, you don't know if you'd get married, but you don't care if other people do.
You know, I don't care. I want the rights. I want the right to choose.
So you are for gay marriage.
They just cut AIDS funding in this country nationally and in the state of Illinois significantly.
Yeah. I want to tell people, don't get AIDS because we can't afford it.
Use those condoms, honey.
Right.
I mean, so what do you have to say about some of these things that we associate ourselves with because we have wonderful sense of humors and we want to be diverse and tolerant and embracing things. At the same time, an animal is not exactly giving you consent. And you know,
he is man's best friend, that dog.
Man's best friend, but you know,
old Yeller.
Sometimes that line between friend and lover.
And that's a thing to analyze. It's like, you know, well, we're fine with killing an animal and eating it.
Mm-hmm. And but making sweet, sweet love to it, that's a whole different story.
Or wearing it, for that matter.
You know, so, I mean, this brings up a lot of complicated issues here.
That I don't even really want to deal with. Do you?
Well, I mean, it's a significant thing that's part of this background noise, which is IML and our sex.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's talking about
it. I think it's such an outlier. Though, don't you? I mean, how far can you take it?
The thing is, I took our intern, Shane Sweeney, as a first-time young man to IML, and his eyes were as big as dinner plates. Mm-hmm. Walking around, and he was a pretty good sport. You know, I was like introducing him as my slave femme bottom.
And they're all like, oh, okay.
And there were no problem with that, you know. And he was just like, I say, avert your eyes, you're going to get goat sex.
But how about the 3D porn, though? That was the highlight for me.
3D porn.
Yes, so you can put on 3D eyeglasses.
So this is from Dominic Ford. We usually don't plug out porn, so please
And there won't be a link, so just Google it.
Google this. DominicFord.com. With Dominic like a nun. Like a Dominican nun. Ford as in the soon-to-be out-of-business car company. That's so mean.
I love this show. It's so twisted.
I know, we're really mean.
I love it.
And so it has Brandon Monroe, Vin Costa, you know, these hot studs, and they're fans of the show, and we ran by their booth. And they were like, Fausto, Mark, please, please have some 3D porn. Mm-hmm. And it comes with 3D glasses.
Yay.
And you can see porn. But you know, the interesting thing is, porn used to be in 3D. A lot of the famous porns that we know about used to be released in 3D in theaters.
Like Deep Throat?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. A lot of these
Where
porns.
Where did it go? I want to see it on IMAX in 3D.
I know.
His cock is
so
jumping out at
me. They had little clips, and they Shane and I put on the 3D glasses, and it's in this one. It's called Porn Stars Volume 1. There's a scene in it where the guy comes, and the sperm comes right
at
you.
Gets right in your eye. It burns.
It was great.
That's what you call syphilis.
And then I want to do a shout out to what was that porn star who Pavel Novotny looked like?
Robert Van Damme or something like
Robert Van Damme or Steven Van Damme or something. And
did
he
the imitation. That was funny.
He was fantastic. And it's like, I am from Prague and I now live in England and I do porn. And he was very chatty and very talkative with me. And let me tell you, in person, usually porn stars don't hold up to their images or their photos. Very attractive. Like Shane and I were like, I'm gonna.
And Fausto, you asked him about Pavel Novotny, who was, you know, my favorite porn star.
And everybody there knew who he was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like he pretended like he didn't know who he was. Mm-hmm.
And you said that he's kind of disappeared. We don't know where he is and stuff like that. And we joked that he's like some billionaires holding him in a cage in Australia somewhere. And Fausto, what did he say to that?
Well, I could easily imagine him leaving a cage that happens all the time. And I'm like, so one of the hazards of being a porn star, a well-known Eastern European porn star, who is
kidnapped.
Irresistibly attractive. Mm. I mean, there was not a flaw in this man's body, is that you're going to live in a cage one day.
Yes.
In Australia, a shark.
Does this Pavel Novotny ever come to San Francisco?
No, he's living in a cage in
Pavel
Australia.
Pavel Novotny, why won't you love me? Where are you? So I get Mark Phelan. Mm-hmm. I married Mark Phelan because he looks like Pavel Novotny.
He does, kind of.
You look like an Eastern European.
You know, he looks like Mr. Big from Sex and the City.
Really? I never
Who looks like
really?
Pavel Novotny.
Who looks like Pavel
Novotny.
So
if
anybody has any Pavel Novotny porn, you can send it to 5315 North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60640.
-2113. Make sure to make attention to Feast of Fun, as we are no longer Feast of Fools.
Mm. Why is that? I never asked you guys about that.
Because it tested better. Time. In different markets, yes. Asian and African American
people
like it better. They're like, I'm not a fool. You're the fool.
Mr. T ruined it for everyone.
Oh. Mr. T said, I pity the fool. I asked Mr. T to come on our show when he was promoting his reality TV show. He said, I will not come on a show that is called Feast of Fools because I pity the fool.
But you guys made such a name with Feast of Fool.
Like, well, everybody so
knows. Everybody knows you guys.
But you know
Feast
what? It's
Fool.
A great publicity angle because now everybody talks about that.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
true.
So, and the other thing too is that we're actually in the process of changing some of the functionality of our website and bringing a lot more social media to it.
Fierce.
So yeah. So you can put like your videos and your blog and all that stuff
like
on the site.
Like your RuPaul Drag Race video.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And
will you help me? I am so lost.
I will hook you up.
I need a evening gown look.
I will hook you up. I will.
I need
you
to look like a fierce diva. I want to be in that show because I want to go up to RuPaul.
You know what?
And look and blow some ganja smoke in her face and say,
I have no problem with supporting, you know, certain, like a lot of drag queens that I love in San Francisco.
You're gonna support me.
I'm gonna support you.
You're gonna be my drag mother.
Oh, wow. That's fierce.
Will you be my drag mother?
Yes, I will be your
drag
mother.
Just don't make me look Asian, though.
No. You know, I do.
Kidding.
You know, it's not that I don't like RuPaul's Drag Race because I do support a lot of the drag queens from San Francisco. Like, some of them are my good friends, like Cookie Dough and Mercedes Monroe. And like,
she's running Cookie Dough.
Cookie Dough and Mercedes.
She's got some nuts in that dough, let me tell you, though.
And, you know, you guys should vote for them, you know. And there are a lot of queens who I feel deserve to be on the show, who deserve that kind of exposure.
Listen, I have a feeling that RuPaul's Drag Race is going to be on for years to come, like Project Runway. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going
to
get a chance.
And they're going to be sold to Lifetime, too. Right.
And after
not.
And after Rue's dead, they'll just use her Barbie doll like they did in Shishi LaRue's video.
Oh.
What is up? Okay, so Shishi LaRue, I barely recognize her, is skinny.
I guess she got a gastric bypass.
She got
and
a gastric
skinny.
Bypass.
You know, and everybody's saying it. What? Should we say it?
Say it.
She looks like Star Jones.
Oh.
She does. She knows where the bodies are buried, so we're just kidding, Shishi, or Miss LaRue, if you're nasty. Mm-hmm.
But be careful, you know, so I'm like, kudos to you, you know, if you want to, because that's a pretty risky kind of thing to do, to go through that procedure. But
she looks fantastic,
you know, for some people,
though.
It's like, which it's what you got to do to get to that weight, because, you know, you want to be healthy.
Right. And you want to be fabulous, mm-hmm. you know, like our friends at Life Loop mm-hmm. or whatever, you know. Look, I applaud what Shishi LaRue is doing. Mm-hmm. I think she looks fantastic. And she's putting out music, mm-hmm. which I say to everybody. Guess who else I got to...
Who's going to do music?
Is our friend Glenn Douglas Packard is working on a single. Thanks to me.
Oh, because you pushed him into it. And you know what? He can dance for his own video, too.
I know. I said you and your boyfriend, Daniel Miagani, the supermodel, who mm-hmm. is
He's dating that Daniel.
Curl your toes sexy, okay? Yes. And they like are making out. They go to Michigan.
Oh, hell no.
Very cute with each other. In the next season of Brooke Knows Best, that's starting mm-hmm. in June. And it's going to be the hot, hot, hot Newgate TV show.
I am gelling. I am so
I'm so gelling. And they're coming to, hopefully to Chicago, and they're going to tape a show with us. Mm-hmm. It's so hot, the fire alarms are going off. Just talking about it. You hear it in the background.
I love Chicago.
I know. So you're going back to San Francisco tomorrow?
I'm going back to San Francisco. Well, yeah, tomorrow morning at 7. But the city is so amazingly beautiful. I'm in love.
Is this your first time here?
This is my first time. I did a layover once when I was 9 years old, but that doesn't count. But this has been such a great trip.
And this has been such a great show, Moni. I want to thank you so much for coming. I want to remind the listeners, we are all transgendered.
Yay. And I'm glad both of you aren't airbrushed.
Do you like how I look?
Do you like me out in the airbrush?
I love that. You know, I'm sorry I'm here for your pleasure, but, you know.
You better be.
I'm here for both of you.
So
anytime.
We're going to wrap this up here and give some pleasure to La Monastat. Dino, La Moni.
All right.
Dino, where are you performing? So it's every Tuesday at
every
End Up.
Every Tuesday at the End Up, we have on Gina coming for Gay Pride June 23. Oh. June 2 is our tribute to Sex in the City, mm-hmm. so I want all the listeners of Feast of Fun, if you guys are in San Francisco, come and
We can ask them, hey Curtis, are you going to go check her out?
Oh, sure.
There he is.
Be there.
Sure. Is Curtis a leather drag? Are you a leather girl?
He's a tranny chaser.
He is.
Hey, I want to remind people that today's show is sponsored in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net. Subscribe via email or reader and never miss a sticky post. Gay, sexy, healthy, hit the sweet spot, LifeLube.org.
Oh, yes. It's Jim Pickett's fabulous blog on staying healthy, mm-hmm. happy, and fabulous. La Monastat, how are you healthy?
I am healthy by sleeping and getting fucked.
All right. We're going to be leaving you with Calpurnia Adams.
Yay. Who's trans?
Who's trans?
Who's the trans?
Fabulous. Who's, you know, one trans woman who isn't batshit crazy.
Right.
Well, that we know of.
Well, actually.
This is our song next. That's the Matthew McPep pop mix high quality from her album Trans Proofed. It's available on the iTunes Music Store, but get it through our links on our website, feastoffun.com, and give us a little kickback. We get 5% of all the songs you buy within the next hour if you click on our iTunes Music Store link first. Yeah. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
Please do it. All adds up. I want to remind people, too, to join us on Facebook. Just search Feast of Fun. You can join the group or the fan page.
Or follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/feastoffun. Get up-to-the-minute details, behind-the-scenes, questions, the celebrities. Our guest today has been La Monastat. You can learn more about her through our website, feastoffun.com. You also have a site?
Monastat.blogspot.com.
Okay, monastat.blogspot.com. We'll also link to it on the show. Yeah. I want to thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, boys. You guys have been so wonderful. This has been one amazing. I have had such a good time.
Thank you.
I love you, sweetie. Oh, hugging you.
I'm here for your pleasure.
It's really, really nice to finally meet in person.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
Technology. Bye. Bye.
feelings, there's only one shot. So hold up those trophies, we'll throw what you got. Caddy, oh, Caddy, they're stunning for more. Let's drag all those bitches right back to the floor. You better impress if you wanna undress it with Caddy, oh, Caddy, you never know what's coming next.
There's another one behind you. Uh-oh, you got no second chances. Do you think that you can play the man of my dreams? Next, if you don't measure up, yeah, next. There's another one behind you, next. Uh-oh, you got no second chances, next. Get it.